So on this Easter as a postscript to our study of the book of Acts, God led my heart actually to look at baptism, in part because we've said that the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ is more than a message proclaimed, but we ourselves, we are the message. Our lives inhabit that message, and we're going to see that later in the service through baptism. But if you're asking, like, what does baptism have to do with Easter? My answer to that is everything. But I want to start right now actually with Easter and what this day means. And I want to read from John 20, verse 1, these amazing words. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and the stone of the entrance was open, and the tomb was empty. And then in Mary's sadness and despair, that one word spoken to her, her name, Mary. And the moment Mary heard that word spoken by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only did her life change completely, but the whole world changed. And so what the resurrection means is what we just sung about. Jesus is alive. But as Jesus says to Mary, he says, I'm ascending to my Father, who is your Father. And we just stated this through the Apostles' Creed. Jesus was raised and he ascended into heaven, which means Jesus doesn't just live, but right now, he lives as the one king, the king of the universe, who the tsunami of religion couldn't take out, empire couldn't take him out, evil couldn't destroy him, even death couldn't hold him down. Jesus won, and he's alive, and he is the king of the universe, and this means that his mission is alive. And what was his mission? His mission was to open the floodgates of heaven. It was to bring heaven to earth, to reconcile earth to heaven, to restore God's creation to Genesis 1 and 2. That is Jesus' mission. That is the story that we learn in Acts of people taking that mission to the world. And we are here today. The baton is in our hands. And we are the continuation of that story and the continuation of that mission. I love how N.T. Wright puts it. Listen to these words. He says, the resurrection is the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom reality has been launched on earth as it is in heaven. Just think about that. Heaven has come to earth as it is in heaven. Through Christ. And the message of Easter, he says, is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ and that you're now invited to belong to it. And I love this. God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ. And just think right now about the world that we live in right now and everything that's wrong with our world. Every loss, every heartache, every tragedy, every act of violence, the wars, the hate crimes, every kind of abuse, the trafficking, every illness, cancer, everything that we read about in the news, that's the old world. A world that's rooted in sin, Satan, and death, and while it's still alive and well, that's not where the world's going. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ means that the old world has been delivered a death blow, which is why it's going down with this huge fight. It's unleashing evil on everything that is good. But in Revelation 11, verse 15, it says the kingdom of this world is becoming the kingdom of God and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Or in the words of Jesus, behold, I'm making all things new. Or as N.T. Wright says, The new age has been launched in Christ. It's been unveiled through his resurrection. And this now is what we're invited into, to belong to participate in. And I say, wow. And baptism then is our way of saying, yes, I'm all in. And this is why when Peter preached the first sermon on the Southern Stairs in Acts 2, think back to that, it's quite some time now. But Peter says to them, to a crowd that put Jesus to death, he said, you know, you killed Jesus, and that Jesus that you killed, he was the Messiah. He was the Christ sent by God. He said, you killed him. But God raised him from the dead as both Lord and Christ. And when they realized, yes, that they killed the Christ, they were cut to the heart, says Acts. And they said, well, what must we do? And Peter says, you must repent. You must turn from trusting yourself to trust Christ and then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, why did Peter respond to them this way? It's because of Jesus' final words to them in Matthew 28 when he says, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Now go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've taught you. And we call this the Great Commission. And oftentimes the part that gets missed or is most misunderstood is really maybe the main point of what Jesus is saying to them, which is to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that one line, I think, is one of the most beautiful sentences in the whole Bible. Because it describes this beautiful reality that we are invited into through baptism. And this verse literally tells us what baptism is, what baptism means, and what baptism does. So first, what baptism is, and for those of you who've grown up in the church, whether it be Protestant or Catholic, baptism is largely viewed as an entry point into the church. It's how we enter the church. We kind of saw this as we studied Acts. In Acts 2, 3,000 people are baptized. The church is born. Cornelius and his household, they were baptized. Lydia and her household are baptized. So many times we saw they believed in Jesus and were baptized. But here's what I want to just point out. To see baptism as entrance into the church is missing something that's hugely important in Jesus' Great Commission. And that's this. Jesus does not connect baptism to the church. Jesus connects baptism to discipleship. It's for someone who's become a disciple. Go and make disciples and baptize them. It's someone who has become a disciple and is now entering discipleship. It's not something simply for someone who's entered the church. And you say, well, what's the difference? Well, I can enter the church, I can attend a church, I can be in a church my whole life and never be a disciple. A disciple is someone who has surrendered life to Jesus Christ and they've made it their highest aim in life to place their life behind Jesus because they have a passion to become like Jesus. And this is why Jesus finishes that by saying, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. It's teaching them how to walk as I taught you how to walk. And so baptism originally, starting with Jesus, was not connected so much to church membership. It was connected to discipleship. Disciples were the ones who were baptized, and those who were baptized into a life of discipleship. Now, I'll give you this. Jesus and the early church, they could not imagine discipleship apart from a community of disciples. Jesus' 12 disciples, they were a community. That community at that time would be called a Havarim. And baptism then is this defining mark of belonging first to Jesus as a disciple and then to his family of disciples. And so this is what baptism is at Crossroads. Because our mission is to be disciples of Jesus Christ who make disciples. Are you a disciple right now? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord right now? Do you obey him as the supreme authority of your life? Have you been baptized? So if that's what baptism is, this is what baptism means. And sometimes I try to put myself in the shoes of someone walking in church for the very first time, especially a church like Crossroads. I could just imagine some of the thoughts, like, what are these people doing? Like, they're standing up, they're sitting down. Wow, they're all singing together. And then today, they're gonna see people literally get into this tank of water and be dunked. Like, what does this mean? That is a fair question. Baptism is a sacrament. Don't be scared by that word. Sacrament simply means a holy event or a sacred ceremony. Baptism is that. And there's profound symbolism in this ceremony. That's why there's water. The water signifies washing. This is a washing ceremony. And you ask, from what? Not like the shower you took or the bath you took where you're cleaning off the physical dirt of your body, but this is dealing with the moral and the spiritual dirt in our hearts and lives, something that our world really doesn't want to talk about because the Bible can describe all that in one word, sin. And as much as our culture doesn't want to talk about sin, it talks all the time about being screwed up and even the crasser form of screwed up. And I hear people constantly even using that crasser form to describe the world or things around them or even their own life. What they're talking about is sin. Sin is something that all of us know as both victim and perpetrator. We are both sinner and sinned against. We are the one hurt and the one causing the hurt, which is why our world is what it is right now. Christ washes us. He cleanses us from the inside out. And it's not just even the sin, but the stains of sin, the shame of sin. And that's why we have water in baptism. Water represents the washing of all of our sin, past, present, and future, through the blood of Jesus Christ. All the ick, the uck, the ugly, and all the weight that it does to us, it's gone. As great as that is, baptism symbolizes, I think, something even more than the washing. It symbolizes rebirth. Because this is what happens when we surrender our life to Christ. And the change is so profound. The life of God is so real that the only way the New Testament can talk about this is using words like rebirth, or Jesus described it as being born again, or Paul talks about it as we're new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. That old you is gone, but this new you, the true you that God made you to be, has come. And Romans 6, starting with verse 3, describes what I'm talking about right now. Listen to what it says. It says, don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so baptism symbolizes this death to our old self and this new life, this new self that is raised through Christ. And then in the next verse, verse 5, Paul describes how this happens. He says, when we place our life in Christ, when we surrender ourselves to him, he says, we are united with Christ. united. In fact, this word united here is a vineyard term. It means to be grafted into the root of a vine. So what they did, especially in the ancient world, is they take a branch, and to make the vine bigger, they'd graft the branch into the vine, and that branch over time would become part of the vine and take on the very life of the vine. And Christ himself calls himself the true vine. In other words, when we trust Christ and place our life into him, we're literally inserted in him. We become united with him. And this is why being a Christian is not just knowing about Christ. It's not even just obeying Christ or listening to Christ. The essence of Christianity is that we're in Christ. We place our life in Christ. We surrender our body, soul, and mind to Christ. We're in Christ, and Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And what this means is that his death now is our death, and his resurrection is our resurrection, that Christ's life is now our life. And you had Colossians 3 to this, where Paul says that we've been raised with Christ and we're seated with him in the heavenly places. And that's not just future. Yes, you think you're sitting just in this chair right now, but right now, for those of you who are in Christ, you're not just sitting there, you're seated in the heavenly places, at God's right hand, where you're hidden in Christ. Which means that when God the Father looks at you, it's as if he's looking at Jesus, his righteousness, his beauty, his glory, his status. And that's right now. This is the locker room. That guy gets it. Baptism symbolizes this being raised up. And that's why going into the water, it symbolizes the death to our old self. That's why this is called immersion. The word baptism, immersion, is the same word in the Greek. We're immersed under the water. But when we're raised, it's the new you. It's the new life. And so while baptism itself, what we're going to do in a few moments, is symbolic, the change within a person's life is not symbolic. The new life in Christ is not symbolic. The Holy Spirit who comes in and regenerates the dead, broken things within us, that isn't symbolic. It's real. Christ is real. His Holy Spirit is real. His presence is real. Remember Jesus after his resurrection said to his disciples, he said, "Behold, look at me, touch me." That's Jesus saying, this is real. My resurrection is real, which includes even our bodies. And see, when we are united to Christ, we're united to all of that. This life of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and the power of the resurrection now lives in us. Now listen, this is important that we hear this. This does not mean that we're instantly perfect. In fact, the New Testament says we will become fully like him when our eyes finally see him. It says, in that moment, in the blink of an eye, our bodies, our minds, and our total being will be like Jesus in all his glory and splendor when we finally see him. But until that time, that old self, that old you, just like that old world, doesn't want to die. And so therefore, there's this intense, raging battle within all of us between our old self and our reborn self. But listen, in this battle, we're not fighting a battle we cannot win. We're fighting a battle we cannot lose, because the battle has already been won, and the power that raised Christ from the dead, it now lives in us. Now, this is why the third piece on why baptism is important, and this is what baptism does. Baptism names us. Baptism is a naming ceremony. This is why Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So just think about your name right now and how you got your name and who gave you your name. When I came into this world, my parents named me Rodney James Van Solkema. And I've really not thought much about my name. I've never asked my parents, like, why did you name me this? But I can assume many people ask, well, what is his name? When I was born, and they probably told people that his name is Rodney James Van Solkema. But my name became official when they wrote it down on a birth certificate. And that, in essence, was a naming ceremony. And so ever since, I've been called that name. But listen, through that naming ceremony that my parents did when they wrote my name on a birth certificate, nothing internally changed within me, but I had a name. See, baptism is all of this. It's a naming ceremony. And yes, the people that are baptized today, nothing internally will change in the people as they walk up on the stage and get baptized today. In fact, please hear me on this. Baptism doesn't save anyone. It is Christ who saves us. Our salvation is all the work of Christ. He saves us, redeems us, he resurrects us. But it would be wrong to say that nothing happens when a person is baptized. Baptism does something. When you are baptized, God, through the authority of Christ and the ceremony that Christ instructs us, he tells you your new name in a powerful way that is deeper than even words could say it. So think about your name right now and how it spells out who you are and who you belong to and who you were born to, your lineage, your bloodline, your family. It tells so much of your story. See, that's why naming in ancient times was far more than just giving a child a label, but to name someone meant that you had authority over that person. And even more, that word, that label, that name that was given to you, that is spoken over you, it tells you who you are, it tells you your story, your identity, and most importantly, it tells you whose you are. So we have so many names: Jackson, Johnson, Robertson, son of Robert, son of Jack, son of John. But just think about this. Baptism is a naming ceremony where God speaks his name into us, and he speaks his name over our lives. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And just think about what or who we are baptized into. We're baptized into God, the one who created us, who now in Christ is recreating and transforming us, who's reconciled us. I mean, Christ, in essence, he brings us home to the Father, to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are within themselves. This community is a family. This family of divine persons who throughout all eternity, they're so intimately entwined through selfless love and adoration to the other that we say three persons, yet one God. And we are baptized into this family who created the whole world and who fearfully and wonderfully made each of us and who are now recreating us, rebirthing us, and renaming us, where our earthly name no longer is our true name anymore. Because God gives us a new name. We now belong to him. Sinclair Ferguson, one of the greatest preachers of our time, tells a story of his student when he was a professor, and his name was Timothy. He was from China. He had this thick Chinese accent. And as he got to know this student, one day Sinclair just felt comfortable to ask him, well, what is your real name? You don't look like a Timothy. And he responded, my real name is Timothy. To which Sinclair responded, he says, I know, but what was the name that was given to you when you were born? And the student responded with his Chinese name. And Sinclair tried to repeat it and says, so that then is your real name? And the student says, no, my real name is Timothy, because Timothy is the name that I was given when I was baptized. That is my real name. that is who I really am. See, this is what baptism is. It's a naming ceremony where God speaks our real name to us, and this name is who we really are, that at the very core of our being, at the very center of our lives, what's most true about us now is that we have been united with Christ. And this now becomes the most true thing about me. And just think about all the people in our world right now who are frantically trying to make a name for themselves, who are anxiously trying to create a story, who are fretfully trying to belong to someone. And the reason for this, and as hard as they try, the name that is still gonna sit over their life is the name Adam, because it all goes back to Adam. When Adam sinned, the whole human race was infected, and the whole human race is bound to Adam. His disease is our disease. We're bound to that name. His name just sits over us. And yet, have you ever thought about Jesus' baptism? Like, why was Jesus baptized? Even wild style John is like, I can't baptize you. You need to baptize me. But Jesus says, no. I need to go into those waters. Because Jesus came across all worlds to take on Adam's flesh, to walk in Adam's shoes. And as the new Adam, Jesus was baptized literally into our fallen mess, into our name, Adam's name. And this is what his baptism in the Jordan symbolizes. And step by step, blow by blow, through fire and trial, temptation and struggle, Jesus hammered out the life that Adam was supposed to live, that you and I were supposed to live, only then to die the death that you and I deserve to die, so that when Christ died, that fallen Adam died with it. And when Christ was raised, we see in the risen Christ all that we were created to be, and what now we can be, and what one day we will be. Raised, united with Jesus, and is resurrected. Or as the Bible says, new creations, where the old has gone and the new has come. And think about those words that God spoke over Christ at his baptism. He said, world, look at him. This is my son in whom I delight. And see, Jesus was baptized into our name so that we could be baptized into his name, so we could be united with Christ and no longer bound to Adam, or having Adam's name over our lives, but we are now bound to Christ and to his story and to his family of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where our identity now flows from him, where I am who he says I am. And this starts with those words, my son, my daughter, in whom I delight. And so who am I today? I'm not so much Rodney James and Salkoma. I am baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And now I get to live as a disciple into that name and for that name and to make that name great. And that today is what you'll be seeing today. Because the kingdom of heaven is more than a message we proclaim. We are the message.